Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic day so far. Let's say hello to our pal, former Titans punter, Brett Kern, who is on the line with us. What's up, Brett?
What's up? How y'all doing?
You know, we're feeling pretty good today. I'm going to ask you a question that one of our listeners just asked us, because you look at this Titans offense and what Brian Callahan and his crew's wanting to do. It's different from when you were here, where everything kind of revolved around 22. Now it's you got all these receivers and Will Levis. And so the question was, what's more likely, a 1,000-yard rusher or 2,000-yard receivers? How would you answer that?
Is there the C, all the above? Is that a possibility?
Maybe.
That was kind of my go-to in high school. When you didn't know the answer, you just said C, all the above, or D, whatever it was. I think there's an opportunity for all that to happen. I know there's a lot of guys, that are playing, a lot of targets there for Will, even for the running backs, out of the backfield. And I think it's going to be pretty distributed pretty evenly, right? And so I can see a lot of guys, potentially wide receiver. You're getting 60 catch, 50, 60, 70 catches. You might have, you want to say Calvin might, be able to go over 100 catches. But, with that comes some yards too. And I think watching the other night against the Seahawks, that was super fun to watch. And I think, the powers that be have a lot of tough decisions to make because there's so many guys that are just playmakers. And I think that's what Brian and his staff wanted, is they want to get the playmakers the ball. And there's plenty of guys to choose from. And so my answer will be all the above. The caller might not like that, but I think that's probably a safe answer, honestly.
Yeah, and you mentioned, some of those playmakers. I mean, you and I were texting about it a little bit. They have the tough problem of there's going to be some guys that I think they're going to try and sneak through to the practice squad that they're not going to be successful in doing that just because of the numbers game. I mean, right now, I think there's seven, there could be seven receivers on this team because of their ability to, play the position and also special teams.
Yeah, it's funny because I was just kind of taking notes throughout the game, and I wrote down five wide receivers, and then I put ... six. And then at the end of the game, I said, maybe you keep seven. there's seven potential wide receivers, right? What do you do at running back? Because I think the case between Chestnut, Haskins, right, and even the way Jabari played the other night was, I mean, he's a talented back, right? But then can you keep five running backs? That's tough. And Julius, he ran the ball really, really well. But then, you hear Haskins is maybe a core four special teams player. So is that somebody you really want to get rid of? And so I think the thing to keep in mind, too, is, when you make your cuts and you get your practice squad, you're trying to figure that out. When you cut somebody, if another team picks them up, they have to go to active roster, right? So, I know there's talks about Braden and, how well he kicked. And he kicked phenomenally, right?
Yeah.
But if you cut him, whoever picks him up, if they pick him up off waivers, he has to be on the active roster to start the season, right? I think it's three or four games. I'm not 100% sure on which one. But they have to go active, right? If they don't get picked up off waivers, now all of a sudden they're technically kind of a free agent, and now they can sign, if the Browns want him, right, they can sign him to the practice squad. Or if the Titans want him, say, hey, man, why don't you come back, and be on our practice squad. And so that's another thing to think of, especially if you're looking at cutting a veteran that can now go on practice squad. If you cut a veteran and he goes active, well, now if he's on the opening day roster, now his salary is guaranteed for the year, right? Which is something that a lot of teams maybe try to avoid. So I think, if you're looking at, receiver and you got Jaquan and Mason, right, they're very similar players. Are you going to have both of them active? There's 53 guys on the roster, right? But really 48 dress on Sunday. So are you going to have a very similar player with similar abilities, similar skill sets, right? Are you going to have them both active on a Sunday? I don't know, right? But if you cut both of them, are the odds that either one of them will get picked up on another team to go to an active roster, right? Do you think you can get both of them back on practice squad? So there's a lot to it. With D-Hop, is he coming back? Is how is his injury progressing? Is it something where he's starts out on short-term IR. That opens up a roster spot. Arden Key, you know, the suspension getting taken away. All of a sudden, now he's back. So now, you know, what do you – that might take away a roster spot from maybe another linebacker or somebody else. So there's kind of a lot that plays into it. And I think watching this kickoff is a huge dynamic of it, right? You're starting to get your bigger body types in there. I mean, I saw the Chiefs. They had the Australian football guy kick off. And you have Harrison Butker, the richest kicker in the league right now. And they had an Aussie guy hit the kickoff so he could sprint down there and pretty much play as a linebacker and fill the hole on kickoff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy to me, right, that they would do that. But that's where this play is at. It's literally a running play at the line of scrimmage. And so now you're getting big bodies. So before, you might say, hey, we're going to keep some corners, wide receivers, because they're speed. They can run out on kickoff, you know, punt, whatever. And now it's like, well, hey, you know what? Maybe we keep an extra D lineman, right? A center D lineman, or an extra outside linebacker, or an extra tight end, right? You know, so there's just a lot that goes into it. And I think this kickoff rule actually is really going to make a pretty substantial impact on your roster.
We're talking to Titans legend Brett Kern this morning on the Chase and McJoe Show. Brett, do you know where you rank in all-time yardage in the NFL for punters?
I mean, I do. There's a lot of guys that had a lot of punts, and they logged some serious miles on their legs. So I hope maybe I'm top 30, maybe.
You are number 19.
19, okay.
46,136 yards. So you are 3 yards away from number 18. Titans need to sign you for just one punt so you can jump Gerald Wilson, who punted for the Chiefs in the 60s.
Well, you know, I'm helping out at my son's school in football. And I actually dusted off the cobwebs a little bit and hit 3 or 4 punts yesterday, and I think I could manage to get that. So, but I'm pretty content where I'm at. So.
You are third all time in yardage at 45.9. I find this fascinating when somebody is in a top 20 in a National Football League stat, and you are number 3 in yardage at 45.9. Did you know that?
That's awesome. I'm probably bottom 1,000 in the ability to do kickoffs after safety. So,
let me ask you this, Brett, because next week the Titans have a big cut down, a lot of guys be let go. When you were let go by the Broncos midseason, was that a shock? And was it John Elway who told you to get out of town? How'd that all work?
No, John actually wasn't even there yet. It was McDaniel's first year. Yeah, it was weird because we started 6-0 and things were going really well. And, I knew that the special teams coordinator that was there at the time, I was actually competing against Britton Colquitt. And so, we were going at each other back and forth, and, you know, he knew Dustin really well. And so I think he probably felt a little bit more comfortable with Britton. And, but we just competed and competed, and so I was just kind of surprised when I got cut week 6, and it was obviously the best thing that, you know, ever happened to me, which was hard to really fathom at that time, knowing that we had a 5-week-old boy at the house, and here you are, you get cut, you lose your job, and you really don't know where you're going to go next. So yeah, I had the trash bag. I loaded that sucker up with as much as I could, even down to like Gatorade drinks and, you know, Gatorade bars, and like, man, I don't know if I'm getting another NFL paycheck, so I better load up. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, but it's just, you could tell that week, is just, you know, next week with cuts coming, it's very, tense. And, thankfully there's 16 guys that can be on the practice squad. You know, when I got in the league, I think there was only 7 or 8. So, you know, there's a lot more guys that are going to be able to, you know, have the opportunity to continue their career through practice squad. You know, a lot of these guys got some really, really good reps, you know, the other night against the Seahawks. And I think it'll be great too for the starters to get some work in New Orleans, just because you don't really want to go a full month, without playing, you know, football, in a game. Right. So, but they'll have another opportunity, you know, against the Saints on Sunday. And, it's a good opportunity to probably try to figure out, obviously, your practice squad, and then maybe probably your last 3 or 4 that are going to get, you know, those spots from 49 to 53 on your roster.
Yeah, when you were – you're a man of deep faith. When you got let go by the Broncos, I mean, what was that like, the 24 hours like, Brett? A lot of prayer, a lot of why me? I mean, I'm just fascinated by the process because you did land in Tennessee and you were fantastic here, but it had to be that unknown for that before you got picked up here in Tennessee of like, all right, Lord, what next? Was it a lot of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was that's probably the first time that I realized, like, this business is pretty cutthroat, right, to get cut when you're 6-0 and off to a pretty good start to the season. It's just a cutthroat business, and that's the way it is. And so that was probably the first time that I really recognized that aspect of it. And, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a man of faith, and I believe that everything, you know, happens for a reason under God's control. And so there's a lot of times where, you know, you ask why, and you don't really know why, and that's, you know, you just put your faith in him and your trust in him, knowing that, you know, he has what's best for you, even when we can't see the future per se, right? And so the 24 hours was, it was kind of a relief just because, you know, that was back the old CBA where there was really no rules as far as like, hey, you have to be here at 6 and you don't leave the building till 7. They were just some long days. And so it was just kind of a relief from that, just to kind of take a break. Because just the competition with Britain was so intense and it was so hard. And you could punt, you know, in a Monday, or you could punt in a morning practice, and then you could punt in an afternoon practice. There were 2 days. There was no restrictions on any of that. So it was just
right.
Like, it was a grind, right? Just like, man, just I actually feel like this is kind of a bye week, and let's see if, you know, I can get picked up. And I just remember being on the golf course, and my agent called me, gosh, 6 or 7 times, and he's like, man, is there a 615 number that's calling you? I was like, yeah, where the heck is that from? He's like, that's Nashville, Tennessee. The Titans want you. I was like, oh, cool. All right, that works for me. you know, 24 hours later, after getting cut, I was on a plane. Wife took me to the airport, you know, with our 5-week-old, and she stayed back for a week and packed everything up in the house and did an awesome job. And, you know, I was in Nashville, and it was just a huge blessing.
I'd say that worked out for you.
Worked out pretty good.
That is for sure. Hey, real quick, with this last preseason game, it looks like Stonehouse, you know, may get some work in. You know, what do you think he's looking for? You know, just seeing how everything feels. Obviously, he's been punting and stuff in practice, but – you know, just kind of going through the routine of the game, maybe a field goal situation where he's got a hold. What do you think he'd be looking for?
Yeah, I think he's just looking to get out there again, right, to feel those nerves again, just the excitement of being back there behind like a live rush in a game-type situation that's not really anything that you can kind of emulate in practice, right? And so, you know, I think he's just – probably just wants to try to get some rest before, you know, you're going to Chicago and the nerves that come with opening week, you know, on the road, and then opening week here at home for the first home game. And so, you know, I thought maybe he'd, you know, get some holds in the past game or two. But I think with his injury and what he had, I'm sure there's probably some clearance, you know, whether it's on the Titans or whoever did his surgery, wherever that was at. And so obviously they're all in, you know, constant communication, and when the timing's right for him to get back out there, he'll get back out there. But I know, you know, you want to take advantage, especially, you know, the years that I did better, I actually got a really good amount of preseason reps. I would get, you know, 15 to 20 punts in the preseason, and I felt like I was prepared and ready to go for the regular season. And some of the years that I maybe struggled or kind of had a slower start, we maybe only punted six, seven times in the preseason. And so, you know, it kind of took a couple of games to get back into that game rhythm, just the speed, you know, because not everybody rushes in the preseason. It's kind of one of those handshake hidden rules that you don't really come after it in the preseason. So, but the regular season, obviously it's on. So I'm sure he's itching to get back out there. You know, I've been talking to him. He looks great, feels great. And, you know, hopefully he can get some reps against the Saints.
Brett, real quick, I don't know if you saw this story, but Saturday in the Kansas City Chiefs game, their long snapper got hurt. They did not have a backup long snapper. So right after the long snapper got hurt, they grabbed a tight end and they taught him how to long snap in 5 minutes, and he did fantastic. Does that blow your mind to hear that?
Honestly, a little bit, yeah. I mean, really, long snapping, it's difficult. Like, I mean, if you were to ask Morgan Cox, there's a lot of little details that go into being extremely consistent and getting the laces right every time. But really, you know, really you're throwing the football upside down, right? So if you can find a guy that can throw decently, right, throw a good spiral, all you tell him is, hey, man, throw it, but now you got to look between your legs and do it. And so obviously Tobe and the guys in Kansas City, you know, I mean, that's pretty remarkable that they taught a guy just long snap. And then they set him in too, right?
Yeah, he did fine.
That's probably even more of a, I don't know, but you hear a lot of tight ends too that, you know, I think of like Mike Leach, right, who started here and he ended up snapping the league for 15, 16 years and he was a tight end. And it was like, hey, long snapper's hurt, who can snap? And he's like, well, I mean, I'll give us a whirl. Next thing you know, he plays for 16 years. So
didn't that happen? Didn't Bo get hurt in a game one time and somebody had to go in and snap? Or am I making that up?
No. We were at Indianapolis and Baronis. I think we tried like a 58-yarder at Indy and Kenny Amato went down there. And I think Gary, what was his last name? Barnett or the linebacker for Indy, he cracked his helmet. So Kenny got a concussion, cracked the helmet. It was the last play right before halftime. And so I went out there at halftime and I'm thinking, where's Kenny? Like, where's my long snapper? And I didn't see that he got absolutely smoked, right? I was watching the returner. And so all of a sudden, I think it was Kevin Matthews, right? Backup center. He comes out and he's like, hey, Brett, so Kenny got a concussion. I'm snapping in the second half. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, I haven't done this since college. It's like, all right, let's do it, right? So, and I think we had like, that was back when I think Peyton Manning was there, and it was, you could have a great punt, a terrible punt, and it was a fair catch, get Peyton on the field, let him do his thing. So I think we had three punts in that second half, and it turned out just fine.
By the way, the original, the backup long snapper for the Chiefs is Kelsey, but he was out of the game and didn't have his uniform on when all that happened. So they do have a number two, and they pressed this young man into action to get out there and do it, and he did fantastic. So that is wild.
I'm telling you what, like there's guys, you know, Luke Rhodes in Indy, linebacker converted to, you know, snapper, and the next thing you know, the Chiefs are going to be like, hey, man, this, you know, we might keep him on the practice squad and teach him to snap. I'm telling you. It's with 16 guys on your practice squad now, you can afford to keep maybe a linebacker, a tight end, or somebody that can snap and, you know, kind of teach them and groom them just in case.
Love it. Yeah. Great stuff, Brett. Appreciate it as always. And we're going to be doing this regularly, so we'll talk next week.
Yep. Enjoy PNC Park. It's a beautiful place. Wish you were going to Cincinnati to get some skyline, but, you know, Pittsburgh's pretty good. So yeah, enjoy it.
I'm sure I'll have some good food there, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
See ya. Brett Kern joining us here on the program, and he will join us every Monday usually at 10 as a part of our Reaction Monday. So looking forward to Mondays with Brett. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.